prayer before reading of the Holy Scriptures. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, if you would join me in opening up the Scriptures to the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. The letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. It reads as follows. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to you, O Lord, Baruch Mor. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You might have heard it said at some point in your life, the words, how we think matters. And I know I've heard this so many times. A lot of times people, especially in moments of crisis and struggle, they said, if you think like this, it will change things for you. And so I thought about that, and I really think there's a lot of truth to that. There's the saying, how we think matters, and as we think, so we are. How we think matters, and as we think, so we are. The fathers of the early church spoke very clearly about how the process of sin actually begins with thought. And when you think about this, it's quite true. If we think about it really closely, sin usually proceeds from our thought. We evaluate a thought, and we either go to action or we reject the thought. Now, of course, sometimes actions can be our thoughts themselves, like, for example, when we have thoughts about people that we probably shouldn't be having. But the point that I ultimately want to make is how we think determines what we do. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, especially this specific chapter, is teaching us how to think. And this is very, very important. Because a very big part of the key to victory in the Christian life is to learn how to think. What I mean by that is how we ought to evaluate things, how we learn how to measure things, and also to learn how to have, in a sense, a dialogue with ourselves. So what I'm trying to get at is probably a concept that you might have heard before, but learning and knowing how to talk to ourselves. I know it kind of sounds weird because we don't want to be sitting there in our room or in public talking to ourselves. But what I really mean is we must know how to cause ourselves to follow the right path, especially when we are in moments of temptation. And we have to be able to learn how to discuss the issue at hand with ourselves, as it were, in our hearts. And when we look at the life of the saints, this is what they did. So what I'm saying here, or what I'm even preaching here, is actually nothing new. It was lived by the saints themselves. And so the key, or the way to eternal life, is to be able to put things into perspective at every moment. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter what circumstance we're in, to always to be able to have that perspective that Christ would have. And that's what St. Paul is teaching us in his letter. He says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And then he goes on to say, as you have yielded your member servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. For a moment, if I think, and if you think with me, if we think of ourselves as free from sin, I think that kind of defeats half of the battle. Most of the battle is about us feeling like we're tangled to sin, or that we're not free from sin. And so when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, he lived, he died, he taught, he endured passion, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit. For what purpose? Ultimately, it's so that we would be able to become free. So as Christians, the saying that we are a Christian is to say that we are free. And it's a fundamental thought that is part of Christianity, that with sin comes slavery, and with righteousness comes freedom. With sin, we fall into its sway, and oftentimes we make things a habit, and because of that, it becomes a weakness for us. And when we become slaves to sin, we have to realize that God is not helping us at any moment in our lives to sin. He does not help us to sin. He does not encourage us to sin in any way. And when we sin, we actually, in a way, are choosing and totally on our own. But when we think about righteousness, we are completely free to do righteousness. And the more free we become, the more we are filled with the Spirit of God, and the more easy it is to do righteousness. So God helps us in moments of righteousness, and he guides us to become even more righteous. Whereas with sin, we are not doing the choosing. In a way, sin is choosing for us. And I'll give that an example. If you're addicted to anger, if you get angry in situations easily, you have to think for a moment. Do you choose to get angry, or does it just happen? For those of us who may be lazy, do we wake up today and say, I'm going to be lazy? No, we just don't get things done. And we continue on with the day, and the day just gets worse and worse, and you just can't seem to become what you want to be. And sin gets this in us and makes us slaves of it. But God doesn't do that with righteousness. And we kind of have to choose to be servants of righteousness. And this is the way to think. And this is the way we need to grow into as a way of life. When I think about Christians, all of us, when we are presented with any situation, we should be able to, like in just a flash of a moment, be able to make a decision that is, I am going to do the righteous thing because I am not giving myself the right to do that which is not righteous. I know that kind of sounds a little bit tricky, so I'll repeat it again. I am going to do the righteous thing because I am not giving myself the right to do that which is not righteous. When we say that we are slaves to righteousness, that is, a willing slave, we have that choice, and it becomes part of who we are. So for a moment, I think about some of the struggles that we go through in our daily life. Let's think about this a little bit further. What good comes out of our anger? What good comes out of our irritation? What good comes out of lust? What good comes out of thinking bad thoughts about others? or remembering the wrongs of others, or not being able to forgive someone. What good really comes out of these circumstances and these situations? And the truth is, nothing. There is no good that comes out of it. And we know it, yet these things are things that we have, in a sense, become addicted to. And we could all name a dozen more things. And we all have different things that are weaknesses in our lives. Some of us more, and some of us maybe a little bit less. But in a way, we all share the same weaknesses. Most people share a weakness for irritation, for example. There really is no good to be irritated. And the end of it, it really just doesn't give us any peace whatsoever. It doesn't improve our situation. In fact, it may make things much worse on a temporal level. We get irritated with some, we argue with a few, and then everything gets worse and worse and worse. So the bottom line is, there's nothing good about unrighteousness. It doesn't help us, and it doesn't do anything except hinder us and hurt us. So I come to the point that we are left with two choices in life. Either we willingly submit to God, or we unwillingly submit to the evil one. There really is no in-between. And if we think always of our being free from sin, we will become free from sin. We hear a great many things about what it is to be a Christian, or what it is that we will become. Yet, I don't think none of us are or are becoming it. We pretty much are leading ordinary lives and making the same mistakes over and over again, both you and I. And so there's a couple of things to remember. There are a lot of things that need changing in our lives. And maybe some of us might not even be aware of what those things are, partially because we can't see them. And the second thing is that the problem is not that God cannot do it. The problem is that we don't believe and don't submit ourselves to what he can do. So we have a problem. We should be able to look at ourselves and say, what is it that we need to do to solve? And in all honesty, we have to believe that God will help and that all we need to do is really believe. And that's what St. Paul really understood. He talked about many things that he did wrong in many places in Scripture, but he was well aware of his weakness and the things that he had done wrong in his life. And yet he continues to say that you are made free from sins and you are servants or slaves of righteousness. The beauty of Christian life is that it promises us perfect and complete freedom. I think the unfortunate fact of our life is that we don't completely believe it because we believe instead in the surroundings around us. And we believe in some of our habits and we believe in our addictions. But I really want us to begin to believe in the gospel. And so we have to start learning to live in this way. Let's learn that whatever situation we come across, we will be thinking that I am a servant of righteousness. And we have to truly believe that in all honesty and know that we are not servants of the evil one, that we are free from sin, and we can choose not to sin. And the more we believe it, the more we will find ourselves being able to live in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I think the premise of everything that I'm trying to speak about this evening is we have to learn how to think differently. Learn to remember every moment when you're having one of those lazy days or one of those listless days or when you're falling into a sin that you fall into all the time, that you are free from sin. And we have to be able to exercise that freedom. Don't ever consider yourself to be a slave to sin. You should consider yourself to be a slave that is a willing slave to righteousness. And if we do this, I think we can live victoriously. So as I kind of mentioned in the beginning, always remember, how we think matters. And as we think, so we are. So the ultimate goal that I want us to kind of begin to practice and to really begin to teach ourselves is how to think in the moments when we are in trouble, and to be able to bring a positive perspective to the things that we have in life. Because the important part of victory in Christian life is to learn how to think, to learn how to evaluate, to learn how to measure things, and also to learn how to have this dialogue with ourselves. To the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen.